And that's what's cool about this, is that there's something here for everybody. And your goals don't have to be other people's goals. Your desires for the type of properties that you go to don't have to be like everybody else's. And there's a little bit of something for everybody. But it works if you, you know, jump into the system, you learn it, and you get plugged into the community. I think it's going to increase your success rate. That's for sure.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews that we release every single Friday. And this conversation we're going to have today is, I'm really, really excited about. It's a long time, a member of our Vodacy family, willing to share their journey into short-term rental investing, and Mr. Nate Yeomans. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Heck yeah, man. This is going to be a fun conversation. You and I,
you bet.
You know, we go way back, it feels like, right? Kind of toward the beginning stages of
before Vodacy.
Right?
Yeah.
Before it was Vodacy, right?
Before it was Vodacy. That's
the
right.
Old lifestyle asset university. Not a lot of people can claim that they came in during those days.
That is true, but it caught my attention. I loved the idea of a lifestyle asset. So that probably is a lot of the reason why I'm here today.
Love it. Love it, man. Well, listen, I appreciate you joining us and, talking about and being willing to let people listen into our conversation, talking about the journey. Before we hit record, I said, you know, don't ever be afraid to share the ups and the downs. That's mm-hmm. our goal here at Vodacy, is to help people walk into this with their eyes wide open. Those people that are listening, you know, it's not always an easy journey. And so you guys have been around for a long time, and that's what's you've had the fortunate ability to watch this industry really start to grow up as well, right? You've been in it and seen a lot of changes from the boom right after COVID to some of the markets settling down and shifting back to more normal levels of mm-hmm. a mainstream asset class. And so it's going to be fun to talk about that. But let's go back to the beginning and just kind of what got you interested in short-term rentals in the first place? You mentioned you kind of like the idea of a lifestyle asset, but was that what caught your attention in the very beginning?
Exactly. Yeah, we have a place in Steamboat Springs. It's a personal place that we use. And, we're at one point we decided not to use it. I think it was around the holidays. And we thought, you know what, we can throw it in the rental pool. Let's see what happens and just rent it for the holidays. And all of a sudden I saw what they were charging per night. And my wheels started turning, of course. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Somebody would pay this per night for this type of place. And so I start crunching numbers and really thinking about it. And then I started doing some research, and lo and behold, I found you. Right. And I found at that time it was Lifestyle Asset University. And I'm like, you know, I really love this idea, this concept of having a lifestyle asset. I wasn't really looking at it from to build a business. It was more about how can me and my wife go out and create lifetime memories and experiences with our friends and our family and other people. To me, which is what it's all about. And while I'm not there, have someone else pay for it.
Yeah.
And so that's where it all started for us. And we got excited about it and we joined the program. And then it kind of took a life of its own from there. But that's where it all started.
Love it. Love it. And so, you know, we're missing Brooke today. She's, you said she's in Colorado enjoying one of those lifestyle assets.
She's in Steamboat right? Springs right now. Yeah. Enjoying exactly. that. With her sister, you know, and creating memories and doing amazing things. And that's, you know, that's what it's all about in life.
That's what it is all about. It's awesome. And so, yeah. And so you say it kind of starts taking a life of its own. It wasn't mm-hmm. ever the intention. And it's interesting how many people get into it thinking, man, it'd be nice to have this vacation home and maybe somebody can help supplement it. And then all of a sudden we realized, man, maybe there's actually a viable option to make a little bit of money with these properties and start to build a portfolio that creates a little bit of, you know, extra income or whatever that is. And that ultimately that long-term wealth of somebody else paying for these assets for us in areas that we like to visit. That's the whole goal of lifestyle assets. Right. And you guys, and you really took that and started building that portfolio in areas that you guys like to visit. You've got, if I'm correct, right? And you might have even more now because it's been a minute since we've talked, but we have Colorado, we have Florida, we have South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Is there anywhere else? And where else?
Georgia. Yeah, we're in the Blue Ridge.
Georgia, that's right. Yep. I forgot the Georgia one. Yep. And so as you started building those, is that it? Was it all still around the lifestyle aspect of them, because those are a lot of different types of markets.
It shifted over time. And I think that, and there's pros and cons to that shift, and I'll be happy to discuss that with you. But, yeah, you know, and this is kudos to your program. You know, when we got started, and I thought, well, you know, I'll join the program and let's learn how to do this so that we can go out and buy a property and learn how to do this. But as you start to dive in it, because it was so thorough and so well thought out from A to Z on really how to do this, from the beginning of identifying properties and establishing a team and doing all of this, all of a sudden I'm thinking, man, this guy's speaking my language here. He really is thinking through the processes and the systems. There's actually a business here. And yeah. I didn't really think about that going in. It was more just honestly about us and creating yeah. something for us to enjoy. And then as I started to dive into the community, and, you know, you just start learning more and more and attending some of the events and you started to get into that inner circle of people and learning from their experiences and identifying new markets that I would have never even started to look at, you know, and yeah. learning how to, you know, underwrite a property and evaluate, is it, this going to be a good opportunity or not? So all of those things just started to take a life of its own. So I, you know, I have to give kudos to your program because it really kind of all of a sudden lit this fire in us of this can be way more than what we originally intended. And Brooke and I are just massive action takers. So we dove in head first and really got after it. And so here we are today with our four properties that, you know, are doing well. I will tell you, I've got one dog in there that I've been working through. And so it hasn't been all roses, yeah. right? We've learned, we've made mistakes. We've done that, but I think we've gotten through it quite a bit because of our journey with Vodacy and the community.
Love it. Let's talk about the one that's not performing really well, if you don't mind. I'd love to talk about some of the lessons and how you're working through some of those. Maybe some of the mistakes we feel like we made on the front end or the middle of the road, like whatever that is, of how, why you think it's one of them is struggling the way it is.
You know, this is one, honestly, I probably, you know what they say in real estate is don't fall in love with a property. yeah. You know, and I did, you know, there was so much about this property that I loved. And it's still to this day, my favorite property out of all the properties we have. It's super cool. It's got a barn on the property that we've turned into this amazing entertainment space, et cetera. And so I probably got a little loose with the underwriting on it, you know, right. And honestly, it was right at probably towards the tail end of the boom. To where, you know, you could, now we were doing properties like you teach, you know, to where we were yeah. putting them together and really, you know, taking them to the next level with yes. professional design and experiences in mind. And so we were thinking, gosh, if we do this right, this thing is just going to explode and do really, really well. And it didn't. And you know, so it was one of those things that we were just like, okay, we haven't had to experience this before because fortunately our other properties all got off to a pretty good start. I mean, there's yeah. always bumps in the road, but they found their sweet spot, I would say, relatively quickly within that first year, yeah. Which I know you've always talked. It takes a little while for these properties to mature. So, you know, there's an element there where we're thinking, well, maybe it just, you know, it's the market. We need to take a little bit of time for this property to mature. But, you know, a couple of years in and all of a sudden it's like, man, it's just still not where it needs to be. And so we've made some property management shifts. We've done some upgrades to the property. We've done some things to where now we're starting to get the momentum we want. But boy, it wasn't just starting out of the gates, you know, performing yeah. like we wanted. And it's probably one of our larger expenses. So, you know, investments. And so, you know, we learned from that, but, you know, we're still committed to the process and we feel like that, it's going to be a performing property. And honestly, if it breaks even, I'm very happy with that because, you know, for example, we're taking our nieces and nephews there next year. And every yeah. single year, my wife and my sister-in-law and the in-laws, we don't get our nieces and nephews gifts. We get them experiences. And so we've taken to Colorado and multiple times, to whether it's Steamboat Springs or here on the Front Range or Chicago or different things, so that we can live life and have experiences with them and have those pictures. And so next year is Georgia. And so we're going to take them there and help them experience a whole different part of the country. And those are the things that get us excited. So it's so worth it to kind of go through some of the challenges to get to that end result.
Yeah. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because I also think that when you buy these properties, and it is, I mean, that's a very common mistake, that we really fall in love with a property. And so we start to justify maybe different numbers that are easy to justify, right?
Yep.
It's not like you were like, hey, listen, the market's telling me, I'm just throwing numbers out. Let's say the market's telling me $200,000 a year in revenue. And you're not just going out and saying, I need to make 400, right? You're going to be sort of in the realm, but we justify, okay, if we do this, this, and this, we're going to get that. And it's funny, I'm looking at a property right now by Jackson Hole. Mm-hmm. And I know dang well it doesn't underwrite. I know it's going to be a negative cash flow property. But when I look at it and I talk about it, in my head, I find myself, as many properties have underwritten, as much as we know this game, I find myself doing the same thing, saying, well, I think I can probably break even. I think I can probably do these things to make this one work, you know, because I want the property so bad. I love it so much, you know.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because I think it's a tendency that a lot of people have, even if you've got a lot of experience in this. And like you said, this was your fourth property. It wasn't like your first property that you, and however, when you buy quality assets and you buy them in quality areas, you know, in a 5-10 year time horizon, even a break-even property can be a very, very good property as far as your wealth building journey.
And, oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
You know, and so it's not, we have, you know, we don't like negative cash flow properties any more than anybody else. And just like you said, you know, we want to dial in those numbers, but also sometimes it takes a few iterations. It takes some adjustments. It takes some things that maybe we didn't have to do because we hit the sweet spot a little earlier on our first properties and we didn't quite hit it on one of them. And we're like, okay, there might be reasons why. We got to figure out the market. We got to figure out some of the, you know, the shifts in the market, right?
Yeah.
You experienced on that property. Let's talk a little bit about that. That was, you know, this market shifted around, and that's a mm-hmm. major market that did have a pretty big shift as far as values, as far as some revenue, as far as inventory. And so you were having to weather a little bit of that shift along the way.
Yeah. I think that if you would have been a year earlier, it'd have been a different experience getting out of the gate. But we would have still went through the next phase to where the market kind of softened, you know? And so, you know, I think the lesson for anybody out there to learn from our mistakes is don't get lazy and stay, you know, stick to the fundamentals. Right. Yeah. And we were so successful early on with our initial properties, and everything were going so well. You kind of get to a point to where you're like, ah, close enough. We're good. Let's just do it. And, you know, and while it's not a massive underperformer, we're going to get this thing in line. It is just like, okay, lesson learned, probably needed to take a step back, stick to the fundamentals. And I think we would have probably had maybe a little bit different of experience, you know, moving forward. But, you know, to your point, is there's nothing wrong with a break-even property, which is where this whole journey started for us in the first place, right? Yeah. We weren't looking to make money. We were looking to create lifetime experiences with our family and friends. And just have somebody else help us pay for it. And, but if you can go in and buy the property right, that can be an amazing thing, even if it's not a cash flowing property. And so, you know, just to give you an example, when we went into Custer, South Dakota, actually our number one performing property that we have, you know, when we looked at the house, it had all the features, it had the location, it had all the things that you teach, you know, that we want to look for. There was good market demand, it was low competition, and a lot of those things. So we're like, okay, this is checking a lot of boxes, it's kind of cool. At that time, keep in mind that we are still in the world of, you just got to put an offer in on the property, you don't have time to come look at it, you know? And so we thought, you know what, it's checking all the boxes. We actually had another Vodacy member. There was a realtor up there. So we felt like, okay, they got their finger on the pulse of what we're trying to do. And they were able to look at the property and help us out with that. So we took action. We bought it. My wife and I drove up there for closing, right? And we were going there to take possession and see the property for the first time. And I walk in the property and I'm walking around the bedrooms. I'm looking around everything. And I'm like, this is not a 3-bedroom home. This is a 4-bedroom home. But it was only listed as a 3-bedroom home. Mm-hmm. And so what we uncovered was is that because of the septic system, the county wouldn't allow them to list it as a 4-bedroom home. And so I said, well, what do we need to do to change the septic system? Well, you need to add a tank, and it's about $3,000. Done.
No brainer.
And so all of a sudden it was like, wow, what an opportunity that we just went in and bought a property that we now have a 4-bedroom property and have upgraded the septic system for a very small amount of money. Now moving forward, that's increased the value of the home significantly. And so, yeah. You know, we our first initial properties, and while that one was a not as intentional, but the other ones were a little bit on the fixer upper side, right? Yeah. They were amazing properties. They had all the bones and the structure and everything that we were looking for, but we needed to come in and do some rehab work, et cetera. And so we were able to increase the equity and the value of the property by doing that. And we felt like that was a good approach to, you know, it's always about how you buy the property from an equity perspective, and so that's what we're looking to do.
Nice. You guys have the property in Florida, and you bought it. And then we've seen costs in Florida from an insurance standpoint really skyrocket over the last couple of years. And it's really affected the underwriting for a lot of owners down there in some of those areas. I'm curious, because I don't know the answer to this, but I'm curious, has that affected you guys down there? And is it one of those things that you've just been having to say, hey, listen, we'll pay the extra rates? Or is it, I'm hearing a lot of our members, there's members that have had triple the cost on insurance, mm-hmm. which really affects their cash flow. Right. Yeah. And so how has that affected you guys and your attitude and wanting, you know, liking that Florida property or that market and continuing to kind of navigate some of those things on the insurance cost side?
Yeah. Love the market. That is a incredibly strong property for us. And it we have an amazing management team down there. So we feel super confident in that. But we did just get dropped by our insurance company. And so we had to pivot and go a different direction. I will say, I think that we've been more fortunate based on where we're at. The one good thing is we bought a house on the hill. And I said, what's the hill? And I said, 8 feet of elevation. Oh, okay. That's the hill in Florida. So
coming from Colorado, we're like, oh, really? That's the hill, huh?
A little different. So I was like, okay, we're on the hill. I don't know. What's that mean? And they said, you're in a good floodplain. And there's been two floods in that area since we purchased the property. And it got up to about our garage, but never entered the property. So we were, pretty fortunate there. The one thing is we got in early enough on that property to where, our flood insurance is in a good spot. And so, the moral of that story is never let your flood insurance lapse or else you're going to have some problems. And so that's the big one that we have in place. But we did just get dropped by our current insurance company and had to pivot and go a different direction. And we're paying more. Insurance is an issue almost everywhere in the country, mainly due to, inflation and other things. I mean, here in Colorado, there's similar issues, it's not hurricanes and floods, it's hail and fire. And
wildfires,
Exactly is the issue. And it's not a $40,000 roof anymore to replace. It's a $60,000 or $70,000 roof. So, with inflation and all these other things, the insurance carriers have really had to increase, premiums and things like that. It's the challenge becomes is when carriers get out of a market and then you're really left with, very few options, then they can really command a higher price. And so it does change the underwriting. Am I looking to go into Florida at this point in time moving forward? No. I think that, for me, it's like I want to remove certain barriers to entry. And it's like, I want to take certain risk factors off the table. And that's just my personal feeling on it. It's like right now, I don't want to have to deal with the insurance stress and some of those things. Let's let that market kind of settle out, which it eventually will. Insurance markets ebb and flow, you know, with risk events and different things. Insurance companies stabilize and then they start becoming more favorable. And so to me, I'm like, you know, let's just let that cool down a little bit and let's go find other opportunities in areas to where I don't have that as a major issue.
Yeah. And I think it's a great answer because, you know, you highlighted too, saying, hey, listen, it's a strong performer for us. People still go there, right? And a lot of times when you hear about the insurance challenges and some of the things that are happening down in Florida, as you know, some of the challenges into the market and the risk factors are the what's left out of the conversation many times is the demand and the dollars and the dollars the consumer is continuing to spend in those markets. And
that's right.
And it's that just hasn't gone away. When it comes to insurance and everything, I always tell people usually, I mean, that pendulum is going to swing. Right now, it's swung over pretty far to one side as you see companies exit markets, very few options in certain areas. I mean, you say, like you said, we're seeing the same thing out west, right? And specifically, you go into California or some of those areas, nobody wants to insure there, right? And so it's happening around the, like, really nationwide. But what happens is that pendulum swings to one side, it's going to settle back down in the middle somewhere, right? And so you just have to, new companies will come in, that new companies will see an opportunity in some of these markets and they're willing to go in and you know, put their card in the game and their horse in the game and say, hey, listen, we're here for you. And that just happens. It's the natural ebb and flow of business. But on the flip side, people like the beach. People like the warm weather. Yeah. And in those markets, I mean, they're not going anywhere from a demand perspective. And
it's never changed, has it? People loving the beach is not a new thing. And I don't think that's ever going to change. And so, you know, demand will always, trump some of the challenges that you have to jump through. And so, and sometimes that eliminates some competition too. You know, because people don't want to go into those markets for certain reason, but there's still the demand and that's not going to change.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times when people are nervous about it, it's some of the best times to enter some of those markets. Yeah. Now you have to have, it has to fit within your risk tolerance and you've got to be able to make sure that it fits within your property goals, but there can be good times to enter some of those markets if you can kind of figure out, wait for things to settle down, because by the time things settle down, then a lot more people are going to jump in. Right. So if you can get a little bit ahead of the curve, it can be kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned something else early in our conversation that I want to highlight as well is, you know, just kind of being exposed to a community of people investing in different areas. It's one of my favorite parts about Vodacy at this stage. Like, cause when we bought in the North Georgia mountains up in Cherry Log, like I never had been to those areas, but now I started seeing them and hearing about them in our group. Right. And I mean, we live in the mountains, the Intermountain West, and we don't think about mountains in Georgia, right? No. We don't think about those areas, but what a beautiful area of the country. And we're exposed to these different spots. And that's one of my favorite parts about being around our community is being able to see so many different areas and being able to see so many different properties. And it just opens your eyes to like, man, this can be kind of fun, you know, really investing in some of these areas that we never really even thought about.
Yeah. It's so true. And it's, you know, we're so thankful for that because there's so many amazing places, you know, for whatever you like to do in your life. You know, Brooke and I are kind of adventure junkies and we love to do things that are super active or can put us in positions to be very active. And so we like certain areas like that. And, you know, being exposed to these different areas, you know, there's like, you know, I can't buy everywhere, but it was really nice to be able to talk to people and understand, okay, tell me what you like about that area and what are you seeing? And it really enabled you, I think, to kind of compress timeframes, you know, on your research and trying to figure out and identify areas, which, you know, I think moving forward for us, that is the most important factor. You know, I will be honest, you went from a lifestyle asset to a, hey, well, let's build a business and create a cash flow machine out of this. Now kind of the pendulum swinging back for Brooke and I of it's really what we're enjoying most. And we're fortunate. We're very blessed that we both have really good companies and businesses that we own. It's not about the money for us. To us, it's about the experiences that we get to share with our friends and family. Yeah. You know, for example, this Thanksgiving, my dad and that side of the entire family, we're taking them all down there to Florida, and we're going to spend Thanksgiving together in Marco Island. I can't wait for those pictures and those experiences, just like I do with my nieces and nephews or other friends that we share these experiences with. Yeah. And so for us, it's that location and being able to work with the Vodacy community to start to identify different areas that we would have never known about is super valuable.
It's one of my, it's one of the funnest things that I gain out of Vodacy is exactly that. Cause when we see these properties and we see these, them set up and I'm like, man, I want to go visit there. And then before you know it, you're like, I want to buy here.
Yeah.
And for the exact reason you're talking about, right. When I have always said, right. Cause people always want to know what's the best market to invest in. Where should I go? Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, listen, the fundamentals are the fundamentals of success in this game, right? You really have to make sure that it's investable for you. And investable is relative to your property goals. Some people just want to break even property.
Right.
There's markets that are going to be investable in as far as being able to have the acquisition costs and the revenue to support a break even property that they can supplement an amazing vacation home. Other people's property goals are going to be, hey, listen, I want to build a cash flow business and I need to have a little bit, maybe lower acquisition, a better ratio on revenue.
Right.
And to have that ability to do that. Once we dial in that and then create that experience, deliver that through management and understand how to market it. Once you understand that, then there's really opportunities throughout, you know, the world, right? Yeah. I mean, we have people now in a lot of international.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, when you started coming in and you and Brooke were building your portfolio, obviously the majority of our investors are domestic, but that was during COVID, right? There wasn't a lot of international travel going on. Now things are opening up and we have a lot more people that are expanding out even internationally. But I always tell people, even though like our whole family is the Vodacy family is following the same blueprint, the same fundamentals, our portfolios look so different. Mm-hmm. And because it should be revolving around what we want and our property goals. And like with you and Brooke, it's like, I don't see you guys going and buying an urban property somewhere and sitting in the city, right? No. You guys are typically outdoors and, you know, like you said, you're like adventure junkies, you know, doing some of the most crazy adventure things that, you know, when we like live in, like you said, vicariously through you guys, when you're doing your huge treks and your Spartan races and all the other stuff that you guys get up and do. It's pretty fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's just the way we led to live life. And you're right. You know, we would not that we were opposed to urban settings, but we would probably just go stay in a hotel and it would be a short trip, but it's usually not checking the boxes, you know? And so, again, for us is that as we travel different places or talk to people that share their experiences other places, our thought is always, what would this be like to share this with our friends, with our family? Yes. Yeah. You know, and is that a place that we would just be craving to go to?
Yeah.
You know, and then you still got to, like you said, stick to the fundamentals, make sure that, you know, the numbers work and all of those types of things. But the driver for us is not as much about, you know, trying to build a cash flow machine so we can quit our jobs. We're not in that position. We love our businesses and what we do. To us, it's different. And that's what's cool about this is that there's something here for everybody. And your goals don't have to be other people's goals. Your desires for the type of properties that you go to don't have to be like everybody else's. And there's a little bit of something for everybody. But it works if you jump into the system, you learn it, and you get plugged into the community. I think it's going to increase your success rate. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And our goals are very similar to yours and Brooks. I mean, we every single Christmas, that's what we give as gifts. It's like, hey, we're taking you to Georgia. We're taking you to Florida. We're taking you wherever, right? That's what we do for our whole family. And it is the most our family knows that's what we do now.
Yep.
And my nieces and nephews, they can't wait to see where we're going for the year. Like they can't wait to see what, you know, what's going to get uncovered and what spot they get to go to. And they talk about it, not just, you know, they talk about it all year long until we go. And then we talk about it afterwards for next year of where we're going to go next time. And it's, that has become like my kids have grown up that way. My nieces and nephews, I mean, they, you know, and everybody does Christmas their own way, but their Christmas room, you know, under the tree it's presents from wall to wall.
Yeah.
And their parents will tell us they just open, and then, you know, throw them to the side. And then they're like, hey, when is Sean and Teresa coming over so we can see where we're going? Like, and then they talk about that the whole rest of the time. And that's what they, but
that's where the magic's at, right?
It really is where the magic's at. It's so fun to be, you know, be able to provide that and be a part of that. And, you know, being a fortunate enough position that we are to say, hey, listen, we can share that with our friends and family. And that's a pretty fun position to be in. And you guys are building that same thing. It sounds like you're having a blast with that as well.
Yeah. I think it's more of a legacy thing. You know, it's creating memory dividends is what we refer to it as, is that, hopefully we all live a very, very long life. You know, we got a long ways to go for that, but you know, God forbid something happen, prematurely or whatever, you know, we think about, nobody's going to talk about any of the gifts we gave them, but they are going to talk about the experiences that we shared with them. And we have pictures to prove it. And so all of our friends and family, by the way, we have a frame, it's called a skylight frame. And, so we all have these frames, right, to where you can upload photos on each other's, except, frame and it's really easy to use, et cetera. And so what's cool about it is that, you know, it's very common that we'll walk by that frame and be like, oh, that was when we went to Georgia, or that's when we went to skiing in Colorado and had our nieces and nephews out or whatever. And it's just so those memories keep repeating and over, and you keep getting paid. That's why I call it a memory dividend, because, you know, it's very different than it's like you look at a toy or a gift or something like that. It gets old after a while, it wears out, but those memories and those pictures never do.
They never do. It's awesome. Awesome, man. What, if you had to go back and you guys are continuing to build and you continue to refine, you know, toward the end of the episodes, I always love to ask the question of, if you had to go back and start over, what are some of the things you would do different?
It's a great question. I think there's, a lot of, it wouldn't be the diving into the program, because I think we dove in head first, you know, and that was the reason why we're where we're at today. I think it would be to get a little bit more laser focused on what we truly want as the end result. And I think that while it's still great, and we've got amazing properties, but the focus started to kind of shift to creating a business.
Yeah.
And partly because that's a little bit the way we're wired. But as we kind of started going through it, we started to realize we already have a business, you know, multiple businesses that we love. Yeah. We don't need to create another business. So stay more focused for us on buying properties in the areas that we crave to go to. And we enjoy all of the areas that we're at, but I think that we might be in a few different areas if we would have stayed focused on that. And so that would probably be the biggest thing is for anybody that's going into this journey is to really think about, what are you ultimately trying to accomplish? What do you really want the end result to be? And stay laser focused on that until you accomplish it. Super happy with where we're at, and I look forward to opportunities in the future. And we've got some amazing properties, and who knows, the good news is when you buy properties right and they perform well, doesn't mean that we can't look for new opportunities to upgrade and find other areas to where we're saying, okay, here's the core places that we like to go on a frequent basis. So.
Love it. Love it. And I love that you said, hey, it's okay to upgrade, right? Like we buy these properties as long-term investments. However, if something changes and we're like, hey, listen, like, cause I sell properties all the time. I only keep I have between 6 and 8 properties. And I promise you, I bought way more than 6 to 8 properties over the years of short-term rentals. It's because I might want to get a better return on my equity, or I feel like I've maxed something out. And like, because people assume that you only sell bad properties. That's not true. People sell really good performing properties all the time, which is why you'll find good performing properties on the markets all the time that have a really good potential. It's because the goals have changed. Somebody is saying, hey, listen, I want to maximize that equity somewhere else because maybe my focus has changed a little bit, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, right? And like you naturally went to your comfort zone. Originally, you were like, hey, listen, we have this lifestyle asset. Now we're like, hey, listen, we're these kind of hardcore business people that's how we're wired. That's your comfort level. So you started creating a business out of it. And then you're like, hey, listen, we got a pretty good business. Let's leverage that business to build the lifestyle assets that we want. Yep. And you may divest out of a couple of these properties, sell them and put them into something else. That's all right. Even though they're performing properties, you may not. You may just continue to add and stack to the portfolio. I always am. I've got one for sale right now again, because I want to put it somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I think that, you know, if I go back and I look at it though, I'm so happy the way that we did it, because now do we have bigger desires and bigger dreams and goals and want to have bigger properties that are going to be a larger investment, et cetera? Yes. But, you know, this is a long-term vision for us. This was not a get rich quick type thing. It is, you know, how can we have properties for a long time from an investment perspective, but to go and enjoy? And so for somebody that's looking to get started, it's also, you know, don't feel like you have to go out and buy that $2 million property.
Yes.
Is that we might need to get started in a different area, and knowing that maybe the end result and the goal is to buy something very different down the road. But how do you upgrade your way to that? You know, and you got to start with the fundamentals and buying properties right and doing those things. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're starting to get to, is that, you know, there is a, we love these properties, we're excited about them, but we've kind of started thinking about, like, okay, you know, do we upgrade this a little bit? How would we do this differently? But we're in a position to do that. And that's taken several years to get there. You know, it didn't happen overnight. And we're okay with that, because, you know, again, I think about, what is this going to look like 10 years from now, 20 years from now? And I generally think in a minimum 10-year segments. Because a lot of times you can work through ebbs and flows, like we've seen, if you're thinking in longer term time horizons.
100%. That longer the time horizon is, one, I think you make better decisions in the short term. Yeah. But also, you're exactly right. Your chance of success and the chance of working through the ebbs and flows it exponentially skyrockets when you have a longer time horizon. And then using those first properties as a springboard for the final portfolio. And it might take one or two springboards. It might take three or four springboards, whatever it takes to get to where you're trying to go. There's, you know, don't make the mistake of saying, well, I'm not quite to my final goal yet, but I could start here, but I don't really want to start here. There's nothing wrong with starting here and using that as a springboard into where you really ultimately want to be.
That's exactly right. You got to start somewhere, and if you stay focused and committed to the dream, you'll eventually get there, and the reward is so worth it.
Absolutely. Well, Nate, man, this has been an awesome conversation. You are one of the easiest guys I can talk to always. And so it's always good to catch back up and good to see you. You got to tell Brooke that we missed her and hope she's having an amazing time in Colorado as well. And enjoying some of that lifestyle with her friends and family and her sister, I think you said. That's good. So we'll wrap up. You guys that are listening, we know how valuable your time is. We appreciate you spending it with us. It means a lot. Our goal is to help you walk into this game with your eyes wide open. I know you guys like these conversations as much as I do, because we get it in the comments and the reviews all the time. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things are very much appreciated. They help us. If you know somebody else would like to be a part of these conversations, share the show. Again, we don't run ads or sponsorships or anything else. And so the show only grows organically through you guys sharing it. And so if you know somebody, share the show. Again, very appreciated. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today to start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.